HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Okay, and today I'm delighted to be joined by Michael O'Leary. Michael is Chief Executive of HRM. Michael, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much, Declan. Thanks for the invitation.
Absolutely, no problem at all. Michael, do you want to do a quick intro of yourself and HRM and what you guys do?
Sure. So HRM is a hybrid search firm. We bring full executive and professional search solutions to organizations, but broadly at local market rates and at about half the time, cycle time of a typical executive search. So we target what we call knowledge intensive as well as leadership roles. And we deliver permanent and contract or interim solutions to these. So one of our main differentiators is that all our retained searches are backed by an internal research team using various research and assessment methods. And we also deliver some contingency solutions too. Today, the business operates through three practices: science and technology, supply chain and systems, and corporate and professional services.
Just something I picked up in there. You say you do normally about half the time of a typical retained search firm. Why do you feel you guys do it quicker?
It's a balance, I think, of local market knowledge, how much resource we put behind assignments. So, you know, the research team we have upstairs, we've been developing over the last 3 to 4 years. Part of what they do is work, what we call work ahead of the need, where they look at client requirements in the preceding 6 to 12 months, and they continue to work to identify and map talent with those sort of competencies and skills, so that we're in a more ready-to-go position than perhaps other firms might be.
Very interesting. I presume that's heavily data-driven.
It is. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah.
I feel that could be a whole separate podcast, Michael, so I won't go down that rabbit hole just on this particular moment in time. Look, crazy times, I think, at the moment. I was about to say unprecedented, but when I think everyone's seen that graph of unprecedented use of the word unprecedented, but it is, it's a mad time at the moment. COVID-19, what's the effect been for you guys, and how you guys been dealing with it?
Yeah, look, it's a really difficult time personally for people, most importantly, and obviously for the economy. And our sector is generally a bellwether for the economy. So we've certainly felt and continue to feel the financial impact of COVID. For better or worse, a number of us have been through crisis periods before. So we've learned a lot from those painful experiences. I think in HRM's case, for example, during the banking crisis, though we took a hammering, we actually, on reflection, cut the business back excessively. And that made our recovery at the other side much longer. So at the beginning of COVID, we decided we would do everything we could to keep the whole team together and working, allowing us to service customers, be ready to meet their most difficult needs when they rose. We developed a solution called Business Critical Hiring, which was designed to bridge some of the gaps that arose when assessment was more challenging for customers. And we put teams around assignments because attracting great talent in these times is actually extremely difficult. So from our own point of view, culturally, we're very fortunate. We had wellness, CSR, social and business process improvement teams already in place. And they went from being important to the business prior to lockdown to being utterly essential during it, helping to keep the culture strong, minding colleagues, sharing the difficult elements, creating a few laughs when desperately needed. And they're vital to us now as we, you know, continue to navigate the rest of this awful pandemic.
Yeah, no, really interesting that you had that ready to go. It's, I think it's been vital for organizations to be able to, you know, pull those levers as they needed to do so. What's your approach in terms of things like wellness, et cetera? Do you have, you've dedicated resource then, obviously, from what you said there?
Yeah, we have a team, all of those teams. The way HRM operates is that you, as an employee, no matter who you are, you have two deliveries. You have what we call customer delivery, and that's your workaround servicing or providing solutions to customer. And then we have what's called contribution, and contribution is an element of your time given over to making the workplace a better place for you and your colleagues to be. It really looks at all stakeholders. For example, the business process team continuously addresses how to make our business processes and systems more suitable to customer need based on the feedback that we're getting. And it's really important because, you know, our market is currently operating at around about 65% of its normal capacity. I mean, we've got strong demand in certain areas. you know, critical life science, engineering, supply chain, system roles, financial, general leadership, etc. One of the interesting things we're discovering is that HR is in high demand. And I don't know, Declan, what your own experience, you know, in looking at this in at the HR world has been, but historically for us, HR has been the first to be cut and last to be replaced. And it seems this time organizations are much more tuned to the value strong HR creates. So whilst our permanent revenues are down, contracting solutions are about double capacity, and that's because businesses need to keep moving, and agile services is a great way to achieve this without committing to a permanent hire if it can't be done.
Yeah, I've seen, similar to what you're indicating there, Michael, I have seen that the market for HR people, and as you said, leadership as well in general, there's a lot of organizations realizing they maybe don't have the leadership capability to do, you know, to run a crisis, a black swan event, whatever way you want to describe it, you know, people who haven't been through it or maybe just haven't been, had that particular battle. And then within the HR sector, definitely you're seeing certain skill sets very much suddenly in demand again. In terms of the general market, and you mentioned that there's about 65% in certain areas being in demand, does this change organizations' approaches in terms of things like salary, in terms of their recruiting processes? Do organizations change their mindset when it comes to that sort of thing, or has that been your experience?
I don't think salary changes. At least we're certainly not experiencing that. You know, talent is hard to get, but talent, generally speaking, the type of talent we're after and our clients are after, purpose is more important. So, you know, what am I going to be doing? You know, what do I want to do? What does this organization do? How much do I think that matters? Is that organization a better place to be, sir, you know, meeting that purpose or living that purpose than where I am? I mean, if you ask somebody to take a 10% or 15% drop in salary, yeah, you're going to have a problem. But people are categorically not looking for extreme increases to move. It's nothing like the banking crisis. We're even coming out of that. You know, people who knew they had skill sets were ultimately putting a gun to the head. And none of that has happened this time around. In recruitment process terms, yes. And that's part of why, you know, we as a business started this journey about 3 years ago, where we decided we wanted to bring the business on what we call the path to professional services, where we could create a very unique business, which provided, you know, search-based solutions, really good search-based solutions, because that's how you get the best talent. You know, we didn't want to be giving what was available. We wanted to be giving customers what was the very best. So, and it is a long journey, even though we're a small business. And actually, the timing is quite good now for us because although HRM is almost 30 years old now and therefore has a deep local market knowledge, we're currently finalizing an agreement to be the Irish partner of ICC Partners, who are a top 10 global search firm. And ICC is a really interesting organization. They're a partnership of independent talent firms based in about 45 countries around the world. So they cover, they work throughout EMEA, the Americas, Asia Pacific, etc. And what this allows us to do is to take that next substantial step forward. It expands our reach internationally exponentially. And it provides our clients in Ireland also with great talent solutions overseas in each of these 45 countries and regions. And we know there's a lot of learning for us in those relationships as well, in terms of how we continue to add value and add more value and innovate our own processes. Because as we, you know, are in these discussions with our clients all the time, innovation used to be important. Now it's critical to survival.
Yeah, really interesting. It's something, as someone who's worked in recruitment for a large part of my career, it's something I'm very interested in just naturally. Do you find it difficult when you're engaging with a new customer maybe to increase their understanding of the benefits of that sort of retained model? You know, when I was more deliberately working in the recruitment sector, it was always something where I feel companies almost felt, you know, you were trying to get one over on them almost, but actually what it led you to do was put lots and lots of resource onto a particular assignment. And not just have 10 other agencies working on it and hoping that they just get someone off a job board. is that still a difficult thing to do?
Believe it or not, it's not. It's not a difficult thing to do. I think there are two types of organization that we face as clients. One who say, I need to get this done fast. I'm going to put it out to three or four suppliers. But the reality of that is, even when work is, you know, work channels are slightly more narrow, you've got the same firms maybe covering that kind of surface level ground. And, there are no professional services firms anymore who work for free. And then essentially what you're describing there is contingency recruitment. And it is part of what we do, contingency, no doubt about it. But we explain to customers, the thing about us is we've been doing this for 3 years now. So we have a big pile of evidence and we can point to really difficult assignments. And we can talk through exactly how we were able to find, you know, the right solution or, you know, and often that person's coming from overseas, not all the time, but we explain and they can see the results that are there. We also have created, whilst our contingency offer is worked extremely hard, we have our entry-level retained work called Professional Search is broadly the same price, but it has about five times the value in it. You know, in terms of very extensive, you know, warranty periods, the level of assessment, psychometric assessment we do, you know, the shared experience of working through where the target pools are going to be, et cetera. It's a completely different experience. So in short answer, so long as you can prove that you have done this before, that you know what you're doing, we're finding now that organizations are very happy to go with it.
Okay, changing tack slightly, Michael. I know you're, you write quite a bit on leadership. It's an area I know is passionate to you. What's changed for you? Obviously, you're leading a reasonable sized organization. What have you had to adapt, or how have you adapted your leadership style in our current circumstances?
Well, I'm generally not known for having an abundance of patience, but COVID is sort of forcing me to change that. I think, ironically, crisis periods are good times to get change achieved. You know, we know our own team really understand we are not going back to where we were. So they're hungry to know where we are going and to get involved in shaping that. I think from a crisis management point of view this time, we definitely snapped much more quickly out of the pure short cycle survival thinking and allowed ourselves to figure out how to adapt plans for the future of the business. And that's really key because colleagues here need to know they're working, as I had said earlier on, for a purpose, and that there is an exciting prospect the other side of all of this. And like many firms, like all firms, really, we've many obstacles still to overcome. But it really helps everybody to know that there is a destiny and what those outcomes are going to look like.
Yeah, you mentioned purpose now a few times. Obviously, it's a key part for a lot of organizations. So what's HRM? What's the stated purpose?
Well, we gather around the concept of making our client organizations meet their goals or perform at a better level or perform more efficiently or be better employers or whatever it is through the talent we provide. So we work very hard to get to understand our clients' purposes. So we do a lot of work in life sciences, for example, and we get in to understand what impact a pharmaceutical company or a medical device company, what impact their products have on their customers, how they help them from a health point of view. And we bring that back into when we're, you know, talking with prospective talent. We explain that this is the purpose that we're working towards. And frankly, we feel a part of that. You know, we represent the employer brand, obviously, in the marketplace when we're out there hunting out the very best talent for them. And so people really gather around that. The science team is probably a good example. They're all scientists. So they're, yeah, you know, very interested in how science is used, whether it's, you know, engineering, technology, or pharmacology, or whatever it is, in order to, I guess, make the world a better place for the customers of the various organizations we work for.
And you mentioned for your own adaptation of style. Do you think leadership traits, do you think that's change now, or, you know, is there new traits we should be looking for now as we employ leaders, or has that just marginally altered?
we cite compassion, curiosity, communication, consistency, and resilience as being really the core competencies that leaders need right now. You need empathy as a leader, but you need a much higher level of empathy right now. And we all react differently. We feel differently about this pandemic. We mostly have all had different experiences. And the key is for leaders to adapt, to accommodate whatever a person might be experiencing. That does require, and to do that in a sincere and transparent way, and that does require a significant level of empathy. It's really important to make sure employees know it's okay to feel all of the things that they're feeling. We also believe the days of employees having to fit in with organization needs are changing, that as employers, if we want to attract and retain great talent, we have to work out what the real needs of employees are and how to get our firms to fit with those. That's not new. That's been coming for a while. We've seen flexibility is the most important retention element in all of our research over the last number of years. But COVID has accelerated that to an extremely high level. I think if employers or leaders are working on the assumption that their employees will revert to how they were prior to this period, they really are not quite getting just how profound this change has been for their employees. It's really hard on business leaders, but it has to sink in.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. What do you there's some lofty aspirations, I think, in terms of and you know, genuinely good ones. When you're assessing people, say for HRM, how do you assess them for those traits?
So I mentioned that we developed a product called Business Critical Hiring, and effectively what we've done is made sure that all the elements of that have flowed into our research and search products. So for example, we've introduced a whole range of new self-assessment and personality assessment, psychometric, competency-based interviewing, really to get to the knuckle of whether or not, you know, those four to five competencies I was talking about earlier on are really in existence. Separately, of course, we do assess people for their technical competencies. We share a lot of information with candidates prior to the meeting to make sure that we get this commonality around purpose. Ultimately, at the end of the day, and I know I keep using this word, but ultimately at the end of the day, the most successful hires come where there is an alignment between an individual's purpose and an organization's purpose. So our assessment is generally done around about that. And no matter how good the person is, if they're just not going to meet that, you have to walk away from it. Because at some point there'll be a tension that just won't be recoverable.
I'm just going to go back. You mentioned obviously, you know, any leadership who thinks that, you know, this people are going to arrive back in the office in 6 months' time, or and it all revert to what has up until now been type. Where do you think it is going? I mean, you mentioned about flexibility, and I think if we were to wind the clock back 3 or 4 years, everybody would have been shouting about this gig economy that, you know, it didn't really happen the way people sort of portrayed it back then. To me, I think that will now happen in probably different ways. You know, I do think people will be doing pieces of work for organizations and very possibly remotely, obviously. Where do you think it's going in that regard, or what do you see on the horizon?
Well, I agree with you. I think, but I think if you look at the working from home discussion, the way it's sort of put across in the media is this is essentially a great thing, full stop. And for some people, it's not. For some roles, it's not a great thing. And even in our own organization, so the way we operate currently is the office is open, but people can choose to work from home all the time, should they wish to. And we're working through this right now. And we've done it that way because we could see when everybody was under lockdown, we could see real stress. We could see certain personalities really rise because working from home suited them. And we could see others having a terrible time because they missed the social interaction, because they wanted to take a break from their home, because maybe they didn't, you know, live in a place where it was conducive to working from home. So the truth of it is a balance needs to be struck. And as I said, you know, we just say to people, look, the doors are open, and you can choose to do what you want. Everybody logs on to a what we call morning call at 9 a.m. and, you know, they work within their teams to discuss what the teams got to achieve that particular day for clients. I agree with you on the gig economy. I mean, contracting is a very attractive, or interim or whatever term one wants to put, is a very attractive way to work. And it's a way that you can control your own work-life balance. And I think there are more and more pieces of work that organizations need done where they don't necessarily need a permanent hire. What they need is a person for a period of time. And quite frankly, if they don't need to be in the office, so long as it is appropriately bound contractually, then it doesn't really matter from where they do the work, so long as they deliver the outcome that's expected, when it's expected, at the price it was expected at.
Yeah, and outcome, the key word, I think, again, our people in the media have been changing the narrative to that organizations will suddenly look at the outputs of what their employees are doing as opposed to some sort of presenteeism, which is just ridiculous. Like, I mean, most good organizations will certainly have been thinking along those lines for a long time. So again, I don't think it's as brand new as maybe is being suggested. I do agree with something you mentioned earlier, though. It can be hard for leadership, especially if it's a major shift in the mindset of the organization to not have people 9 to 5 in a set location. It's a very classical change situation and people resistant to it. Just one other thing I wanted to pick up on there. You mentioned, I think you said you guys do like an all hands call or a team call at 9 in the morning. Where will that balance get to, in your opinion, of, you know, unclear location, unclear working times, but the need to collaboration? Like, I think that's the one bit that I think a lot of people haven't worked out where that's going. If everybody's in different locations and working different times, how will that collaboration naturally occur? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I can only speak for ourselves, and I think collaboration is harder when you're not together. I think the technology is magnificent. We were very fortunate. Our head of systems here was delivering a migration to MS Teams and had just completed it. She had just completed it when we all ended up, you know, under lockdown. And it's been, a phenomenal tool for us. And we use it. Even when we're in the office now, we use it because obviously we don't want to have too many people in a room, no matter how social distant they are. So we do our meetings on it. I really don't know the answer. And I don't think anybody knows the answer.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, we require, without one of the things that anybody who has studied, HR or occupational psychology understands, or, you know, anybody who's worked at any length of time in an organization, we work in part for purpose, but we work in part for social interaction. We spend so many of our waking hours in work, and we need that social interaction as well. And that is not really possible. We have we have coffee mornings. We have personal check-in calls on people. We have, where we ask people to go for a walk in their area with somebody who's going for a walk in a different area, and they can, during the working day, and they just get to chat. So we're doing all of this, but yeah. Nothing beats actually being able to see people. So there'll be some sort of hybrid inevitably on it. And you're right about what you say. The focus is totally on outcomes. Has to be totally on outcomes and not on inputs. But I think there's a small point I'd make for managers who are really finding that adjustment. You kind of have to remember that a lot of people still today who are running businesses are guys like me who, grew up or got their first job in the kind of mid-80s, early mid-80s. And back then, you were looking at unemployment numbers that in Ireland make the hairs rise in your neck today, And so to get a job was a phenomenal thing. So that generation of managers grew up thinking you're lucky to have a job, you're lucky to have a job. And that permeated so much of their thinking as leaders and why they can be resistant to change. But the hard reality of it now is that there is no alternative. You simply have to accept it, make friends with it and move on, because this is here to stay.
One last thing, Michael, anything interesting out there you guys are seeing just in terms of trends, innovations, technology, anything you're keeping an eye on?
I think, quite honestly, what we've just talked about is the most interesting thing for us. You know, we're really kind of, you know, having said to you what I think the perfect are the leadership competencies that people are chasing right now are, and that we're assessing for. I'm really interested to see what happens with this new work, you know, set of work arrangements. How is it different? How do you balance, driving performance without being intrusive when somebody's working from home? And, you know, how do you manage all of that? And how do you keep motivation going? And how do you accommodate people who really don't have, you know, appropriate workspaces?
Yeah.
So that's really, I think, the thing we're most interested in right now.
Michael, thank you so much for taking part today. I know you've an upcoming meeting, so I agreed that it wouldn't keep you too long. Thanks for taking part. Do you want to give HRM or your own details just for anyone who would like to get in contact and maybe discuss anything we've discussed today?
Well, my email is michael.o'leary@hrmrecruit.com, and all our numbers are available on hrmrecruit.com, the website.
Brilliant. Thanks for your time, Michael.
Thanks, Declan.
HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.